Today's gospel is yet another part of Jesus' ministry to eradicate evil from the world. As Jesus announces and says of himself, he's come to definitively defeat Satan, and he's already seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Always very difficult to know what that statement, means. Does it refer to Jesus' defeat of Satan in the desert, which is clearly a definitive fall for Satan, or some kind of pre-existent fall from heaven where Lucifer is actually defeated by Michael cast down from heaven? It's hard to say what it refers to. But clearly, Jesus views himself as being the one to save the world from evil, particularly from Satan, the prince of all evil demons, to save the world from him. And he views the world before his coming as being under the domination of Satan, that even though God is present, God is revealing himself, Satan has almost got an, as it were, upper hand. In the cosmic struggle between good and evil. After Jesus' defeat of Satan in the desert, and those temptations are incredibly important. This is not just about Jesus, being tempted, not falling prey to sin when tempted by Satan, who is trying to give him everything under his dominion. It's about a definitive defeat of Satan, that Jesus views this, battle that goes on in the desert, right, that Jesus never makes recourse to anything that would, presume on God's grace or anything that would be a tactic like the devil against him. He's going to beat him by the power of love. And so, of course, we see that now Jesus, almost immediately he encounters a demoniac in the synagogue, and now he encounters an incredibly, tough demon, recognizes Jesus' divinity right away and gives him, announces his name. Obviously, the demons know, and of course, Jesus then is confronting this multifaceted demonic possession of this poor man. And of course, these demons who are possessing him know they're finished. They know it. So they just say, okay, we know we're going. Put us into the swine. That'll be better than nothing, so that they can stay in the region. Jesus does it. And of course, they all rush down the hill and drown. So they're finished anyway. But Jesus, of course, looks at this as yet another part of, the steps that are being taken that are leading up to the ultimate defeat of Satan when Jesus is on the cross, his unconditional act of love. And this, of course, this exorcism has got everybody's attention. And of course, the attention is like, there's like three groups of people out there. There is one group of people that's utterly amazed, and they're going, oh my gosh, who's this guy? I mean, just on his word, these demons are fleeing for cover, and they're gone, they're drowned just like that. And of course, there's something about him, they're thinking Messiah. And there's another group of people who are going, you're a really scary guy. You gotta go out of the territory with you. I don't know who you are, but you're doing really scary things. You gotta go. And then there are these poor swineherds who are going, that was a substantial investment, and you killed them all. Could you kindly leave? So you've got these people who have very, very different motives. What are people looking for? Who is Jesus? And of course, it brings into focus that the heart is as important in the identification of Jesus as the actual miracle, the actual exorcism, the actual sign, the actual manifestation of divine power that is showing the mind who he is. The heart of the person is either going to let that evidence in to speak for itself. Oh my gosh, he's got the power of God. He literally can tell these demons to go by his own authority. I say to you, ego, lego, you know, leave the man, and they go. And of course, he does it by himself. He doesn't make an appeal to God. The divine power rests within in him and him alone on, you know, in the performance of the exorcism. People are looking on going, that Messiah is not just Messiah. He's got divine power in him. And there's two other groups who get really scared because they don't know what to expect, what this is about, right? And they let their fears do the talking. And of course, the heart gets so scared that they don't want any more to do with him. You know, you just get out of here. You know, you're doing weird things. You got to go. And of course, you've got the guys who are going, thanks for killing our investment. You know, just don't do any more destruction over here. You got to go. The money's more important. And of course, their heart is not going to let the evidence shine. And this is the way it will be for Jesus throughout his entirety. With the scribes and Pharisees, you're going to be scribes and Pharisees who are believers and scribes and Pharisees who are not. And it just depends on the disposition of their hearts. If they want to see the evidence of divine power manifest in Jesus, the evidence of divine love manifest in Jesus, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the quenched spirit, come back into the world. It's there to see and let into their hearts and to proclaim not only his messiahship, but his divine power, which of course he will reveal as being the Son of God himself. Or not. Something else matters more than God. Something else matters more than revelation. Something that speaks to our fears, that speaks to our anger, that speaks to our greed, that speaks to any of the seven deadly sins, and we ignore it. And that is the way it is in this very day for, of course, each and every one of us. You're here in Mass during a weekday. Don't have to say anything more about that. You've already allowed him into your hearts. But it's the way it is for every single person. Same thing, no change. To this very day, the heart, you know, liberates the mind, and the mind liberates the heart, and the heart does the talking to let the evidence in. Amen.